Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's the only pro wrestling podcast. I'm having a hard time saying pro wrestling these days. Pro wrestling podcast.
Right before we went on, you said, look at the camera.
Yeah.
We have a monitor right here. And what I do?
Yeah.
And Larson. You
look at yourself and say, and Larson. Hey, so I was, my wife was looking at our podcast on the iTunes. And right now, in the sports and recreation category, we're number 97.
Cool.
Now, that might not sound like a lot, but that's out of they only list 150. Not too recently, we weren't on that ranking. And that's all due to you guys out there downloading, subscribing, writing reviews, and rating us. And we want to say we really, really appreciate that because that helps this train go rolling until one day it's going to roll off the tracks. And it's going to be a bloody mess with bodies everywhere and smoke and fire.
I don't think we want that. That all sounds bad. We want good things.
That's a big metaphor for money, because once you introduce money into the equation, then everything goes up in flames.
That's true. We're going to start hating each other.
Start! Anyways, we're available here on YouTube, on, like I said, the iTunes, the Stitcher Radio, all sorts of podcast apps. You guys can find us. And we want to say thank you to all our patrons out there. We have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/Steve and Larson. We have 30 people watching right now on our live stream, which you can do at the $5 mark on Patreon. Every single week, you can check this out live. You can interact with us, enjoy the bonus show later on. I did this with last week's top five list on our channel.
Mm-hmm.
On our channel, youtube.com/Steven Larson. We don't just have Going In Raw. We have all sorts of other pro wrestling content. Got some cool reaction videos. We do top five best and worst lists every week. Last week with the top fives, I'm going to try to do this with a podcast. I juiced up my internet here. So I can upload to an ad-free version of this while I'm uploading for everybody else. So I'm going to be trying to get this up at the same time as both versions. I want an ad-free version of this podcast, the video version anyways, at our Patreon site.
Okay.
So it'll be like an unlisted YouTube that, you know, I'll put up on the Patreon site. So everybody, a dollar and up. So the bare minimum, the dollar and up patrons can watch this show ad-free. And yeah, that's one of the perks of being a patron. I wanted to give a shout out. As of last Tuesday, when we last did the podcast, Malcolm Bob, Florian Koffhold, which is a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Stibbs,
that's another a great good name.
Bailey Bearden,
another good name.
These are all great names. Nicholas Kloss, Max Butler, Steven Vasquez, Jack Conway, Daniel Monteiro, Nicholas Crepes Burgess, Wayne Caden, Phil Raymond, Matthew Potter, James Strafford, and Justin Parks, all edited or donated to the Patreon. They're going to enjoy all those rewards. At $10, you get a nifty little postcard like you see right here on my mic stand. You get a comic book and a Steven Larson care package at the $20 mark. And you get not just any comic book, a Steven Larson comic book. I'm 2 pages away from it.
That'd be funny if it was just any comic book.
I've been on the last 2 pages of this comic book for like a couple weeks now because of like our increased activity on the channel.
Yeah,
I'm like I need time to fucking draw, so I'm gonna eke out that time this week.
Can you hire an artist to draw those last 2 pages?
It's just too lousy. It's too lousy, and they're easy pages to do.
Oh,
I need to fucking just hunker down and do them.
I'll do them.
Okay, that's really tempting. That's actually very, very tempting.
You are aware the art style will not match.
I know. It'll be great.
Whatsoever.
It'll be great. And then at the $50 mark, we got the design locked in. I actually visited a t-shirt shop the other day to get this thing done, these t-shirts for our $50 and up patrons. So we want to say thank you to everybody out there.
Thank you very much.
That's really cool. Do we have news? What are we going to talk about today? What do we usually do? Raw cat first?
Yeah, raw pretty much.
Okay.
I want to ask you something, because you've got DDP yoga, and it's been sitting somewhere in here for the last 3 weeks.
I don't have time for anything.
It's 20 minutes.
20 minutes a day? See, I don't know if you can actually get much out of it in 20 minutes a day.
It provides a schedule if you do the beginners.
I just want to go straight to the end.
First.
Straight to the end.
You can't help.
How long is that? How many hours of a day is that?
The longest program I've ever done is 51 minutes.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's hard, though.
2 hours and 51 minutes. I'll
okay,
do that.
Go ahead.
You know, I started watching the Jake the Snake Resurrection DVD.
Yeah.
Or not DVD, it was on Netflix. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Real fascinating stuff.
I'll check that out.
I watch him doing that DDP yoga. I'm like, I can do that. I don't need a new hip for that.
What?
His shoulder's giving out.
Have you learned your diamond dozen?
I haven't learned shit.
You need to hang the diamond dozen poster up somewhere around here.
All I did, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
It's not for aesthetics. It's so you can learn the positions properly.
Everything in here is for aesthetics.
Those 12 positions are the basis, the foundation of DDP yoga. He will tell you that.
How many of those are sexual positions?
Maybe a couple.
Really? Does it have him banging Kimberly on there?
No, they're divorced, man.
Does he have a new wife?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I feel bad. Then Mrs. Page, yeah, whoever that is, you know, have her feel the bang on the poster. Oh, I'm joking. It's all jokes.
Let's get some news. What do you say?
Let's get the raw cap.
Come on.
Bang!
There you go. Raw cap.
I want to get DDP Yogurt's yogurt. DDP Yogurt. I want to get DDP Yogurt as a sponsor on the show, and I'm talking about him banging his wife on a poster. The fuck am I thinking? Yeah, I don't think so, Steve. Not going to happen. Come on, DDP Yogurt.
That's not going to help matters at all.
Have you guys tried DDP yogurt yet? This ain't your mama's yogurt. Anyways, Raw cap, Larson. What's happening on Raw? It was an entertaining show.
Yeah, Roman Reigns wasn't there. Anytime Seth Rollins opens a show, you're in for something good.
Man, it's great. I love that shit. And he started running down Roman Reigns pretty quickly. He was saying the Roman Reigns scandal. You embarrassed me. Roman, you embarrassed me. I was the architect of the Shield, and this is how you repay me. You embarrassed me. Copping out, taking the easy way out. So that's my Seth Rollins impression.
That's decent, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, he comes out. Ambrose comes down. What else happened?
Well, Ambrose says, hey, yeah. You know, Reigns made a mistake. He copped to it. No big deal. That was Ambrose's general take on the whole situation.
AJ Styles comes down, says, I want a shot at my world title.
Yeah, he was making a claim to be inserted in the championship match. I don't know.
He should. He's like the best. He's like the best worker they got. I want to be in the world title.
I'm saying based on storyline and his recent win-loss record. I don't know if he's... But anyway, then Cena came out.
He's money.
Yeah, that's fine.
World title.
Cena came out. And then said, I've been champion a bunch, so I should be champion again. That was essentially
that is
his reasoning.
Fishy. I mean, A, that's fishy logic. But B, given that he buries everybody, it's really not fishy logic. That's akin to Triple H coming out and saying, Triple H was one line away from saying, I'm going to book myself as champion. That's why I booked myself as champion.
I mean,
that's essentially what he's saying.
Because I want to be.
Exactly. And he's saying, Cena's coming out and saying, you know, basically... You know, they can write me to beat anybody and nobody would be surprised. So I should have the championship now. Which is a good case to make. It's professional wrestling.
Yeah. But anyway, Steph comes out and says essentially that if Cena and Styles want to be in this match, make it a fatal five-way at Battleground, then Cena would have to beat Rollins in a one-on-one match, and then Styles would have to beat Ambrose.
What should be the name for a fatal five? Because it's
fatal four-way. It's got to be alliterative.
Yeah, what's something with a Q, though? For a quint.
Oh.
Quintet. Quasi quintet. Frightening five way. Fucking five. I don't fucking know. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, if you have ideas for a name, post it in the comments.
Yeah, give us an idea. Here in the live chat, Damien says, isn't Steiner running a Shoney's now? No, Damien, he owns a Shoney's right now in Acworth, Georgia. You should go check it out. It's probably great. What do they have on the menu there at Shoney's?
I don't know.
Steiner, tell us.
Do you know what it's like to eat at a real restaurant? Come to Shoney's.
Are you a fat bastard? Come eat a hamburger.
They were Twinkies.
More Twinkies. I sell Twinkies for all you fat bastards. I'm sorry. I got distracted by the chat here.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. Stephanie came in. So basically what happens is if AJ beats Ambrose.
Yeah, I already said all that.
He gets to be in the
match.
I'm reiterating because we digressed. And then if what's-his-face Cena wins against Rollins, what's-his-face gets in the match.
Yeah, and then Steph's got a problem with Ambrose being champ.
Yeah, she don't like it. He's
not a corporate champion.
He doesn't fit the mold, man. He doesn't wear trunks or tights, which would be weird if he did.
You know, she doesn't like it, but she, beyond just saying she doesn't like it, she doesn't do anything about it.
Right.
She really doesn't, it's not like she, it doesn't seem like she really dislikes it. It's just kind of an inconvenience.
Yeah. It's like something she would prefer not be.
Yeah.
As opposed to something
like, I'd prefer if you weren't champ, but you are. I'll just kind of whine about it, but not do anything.
Exactly. I mean, if she was like, you know, Vince, he would like, you know, basically buy all the referees off. He'd have the giant come through the bottom of the ring.
There'd be a huge conspiracy.
Well.
Yeah.
We were laughing about that earlier. Anyways, he'd have Lex Luger show up at the Mall of Americas. Crop dusting.
You can tell we've been working all day.
We've been working all day. And we've been doing a really fun top five list. I don't know. Are we going to give that show a name?
No.
No? Five count? You don't want to call it five count?
There's no five count in wrestling.
Tree of Five, Tree of Woe, part two.
Whatever, how about this? Whatever name we come up with the Fatal 5-Way match, we'll use for the top five show.
Whatever. Okay, that's good. Fucking Colonel Sanders? No, that doesn't make any sense. Where were we?
Next on the show was Charlotte and Dana Brooke against Sasha Banks and Paige.
Paige looked good. Sasha Banks looked like $1 million. Charlotte looks great. Everybody looks great. And this is a fun little match.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting Sasha dominate. Is there any outcome besides her winning the title at SummerSlam?
No.
They haven't booked the actual match for Battleground yet, have they?
No, they haven't booked anything as far as they go for Battleground.
I figured this match they did on Raw would be the one they do to Battleground. But back of my mind, I was like, Paige isn't really big enough on the totem pole to warrant her really being part of the story. This is more of a Sasha versus Charlotte thing.
And yeah.
Dana Brooke sort of tags on Charlotte. Paige is kind of the odd man out.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had the match at Battleground, had Dana interfere and cause a dusty finish.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Then have the rematch at SummerSlam. Maybe some stipulation or something. Maybe they'll finally get the women's cage match.
I would love to see a women's cage match. That would be great. That'd be fantastic. I want to see that. Like even, you know, they'd be like, hey, let's bleed. Cut the forehead a little bit. See some blood.
We'll see.
That'd be cool. I like
it. Next on the show, we had Titus O'Neil versus Rusev.
Yeah. I think they're just letting these guys sort of get to know each other better before they have a blow off at either Battleground. I'm sort of doubting that. I mean, they're fighting too much for this to go all the way to SummerSlam. That's what my sort of initial thought is. I think that Battleground might be their blow off. I don't think Titus O'Neil is going to get the belt, and I think Rusev is going to have an opponent of some sort. Maybe. Let me ask you this. Do you see any. That didn't make any sense. I was thinking maybe like Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens if their blow off is at Battleground, but something tells me they're still going to be mixing it up after Battleground.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they've been teasing them being possibly split up in the draft. I'm not sure.
Like I say at Battleground, Rusev and Titus have their blow-off match. I've been trying to think of a possible opponent for Rusev, and I'm kind of drawn a blank because everybody else seems to be involved in something else.
I know, everybody is. It's going to be interesting to see if Battleground actually resolves anything or if Battleground is just another stepping stone. I mean, look, logically speaking, you'd think it'd be sort of a stepping stone to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would do their thing at SummerSlam and then everything get amped up. I'm sorry, at Battleground, everything get amped up for SummerSlam.
But the draft kind of throws
a
monkey wrench in the entire thing because it seems like in some ways they're trying to tie up all these loose story threads so they can go into SummerSlam with that kind of a fresh slate.
That's crazy, though. Have until from July 19th until SummerSlam is what, late August?
August 21st.
Okay, so you'll have a month. You'll have a month and 2 days to figure out your card for SummerSlam?
I know. They should have really done the draft after SummerSlam or right before SummerSlam.
I mean, I could see if things are amped. Yeah, that's a really, really awkward.
Because SummerSlam's the best time to kind of have blow-off matches for all these various storylines, and then after that, you have the draft, you have the brand split, you can start new stories. So you're not building up to one of your major pay-per-views of the year.
I mean, the only way it would make any sense in terms of the world title,
mm-hmm.
is to somehow have that main event of SummerSlam be related to
the dual titles. I'm kind of wondering, and maybe someone mentioned this on Twitter, I don't remember, that they'll have like a double pin scenario Battleground. Instead of having another match to turn the champion, they'll just give one of the guys, they'll give Rollins the other belt or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that's cool because I don't want to see a double pin at fucking SummerSlam.
No, this is at Battleground.
Oh, at Battleground? Yeah, okay, they could get away with a double pin at Battleground. You could do whatever you want in one of those pay-per-views. That don't matter. Yeah, I don't know. You know what kind of bugs me about that? It sounds as if that in that case it'd be nobody really wins the title in that case. You know, like what's the normal situation in a double pin? Nobody really wins, right?
Well, they both win, depending on your perspective.
They both win. But if a title's on the line, I don't think it's ever happened. If a title's on the line, okay. So we had a double pin situation in NXT not too long ago. We had like a couple of them, remember?
Yeah, it was Corbin. He tapped out to Samoa and Sami Zayn.
That's right. And that was to determine the number one contender to Finn's belt.
Yeah.
Okay, so what'd they do? They set up then a match for the number one contender and they kick Corbin out because he's the one who lost.
Yes.
So in a double pin situation for a belt, I would think they would follow that same logic.
Well, they would, except say instead of both of them pinning Reigns, say both of their shoulders are down. Both Ambrose and Rollins' shoulders are down.
Oh, if they're both down,
yeah.
Then Reigns holds the ultimate belt ever.
He's the first universal champion.
Yeah, exactly.
Simply by the fact that he wasn't in the pinning situation.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I have a hard time fantasy booking this one. You're a better fantasy booker than I am anyways. But this, I just, there's too many unknowns with the draft to really try to logically map this out.
I know.
Like, you would think that Battleground is a minor pay-per-view. Shield Triple Threat's a big deal. Make the Shield Triple Threat amped up for SummerSlam. That kind of makes it. No matter what happens with the draft, I can still see that happening because SummerSlam is supposed to be an integrated brand thing anyways. And that maybe that's how they're going to advertise. You have the brand split, but this is, you know, maybe they'll dub it like the last big match or something like that because you still have people from competing brands fighting each other at SummerSlam. Yeah. They could do something like that.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the four major pay-per-views, they still had cross-promotional
matches. I wish they would. Or at least make WrestleMania and maybe SummerSlam sort of Super Bowls of, you know, take your best and put your best.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of like the bragging rights pay-per-view they used to do.
Yeah.
Or even, what am I thinking of? Man, I totally lost my train of thought right there.
Okay. It's been a long day.
It has been a long day.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Stephanie was back.
Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah.
You'd
yeah.
have your teams against your teams.
Stephanie was backstage, and who walked up to her? Corporate Kane.
Yeah.
Making a pitch to be the GM of SmackDown yet again.
I could watch this all day long. I really hope that they bring him for it. They're not going to because it's too big. But, God, I love Corporate Kane.
And then The Miz and Maurice arrived in the arena.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And he's fighting a mystery opponent.
Yeah.
For his Intercontinental title. We can talk about that right now. It was Kane. It was Demon Kane. And the Intercontinental title couldn't mean any less at this point.
Pretty much.
So congratulations for that. I mean, even the U.S. title is like more prestigious now.
It is. It really is. Title. Imagine if they had kept the IC or put the IC belt on either Zayn or Owens and how that would have played into their feud.
I know. It kind of doesn't need it, though. Let's talk about that right now.
I know it doesn't need it, but just imagine if Zayn had it and how pissed off Owens would be about that.
Let's talk about Jericho's highlight reel.
Okay.
So he brings us back. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are his guests, and he wants to talk about, you know, their relationship. And this was really cool. Sami Zayn was saying, you know, you were my best friend. Yeah, Sami was his best man at his wedding. And he said, you know, you said it's not personal, it's a business move. But he said, but how can it not be personal? And Kevin Owens' point was, I was here to win the title, and you got bitter because I did that.
At Sami's expense.
At Sami's expense, exactly. But he said, still, you should be cheering me on in the grand scheme of things in the end, because I did what's best for me. We always wanted to be in this thing, and that's what you do.
Yeah, they made the story really personal.
They made it really personal, but they also made it logically, like, this is something that two people would say to each other if they're in this situation.
Yeah.
That's what's great about it. And there's so much conviction behind what they're saying. They both were excellent at this.
Yeah.
And Jericho did just enough to put himself in it, but also to hang back.
Yeah.
It was masterfully done. And it all ended with, it's funny because the entire time Sami had this look on his face like he was really, and even Owens, God, it's...
The first half that he was just kind of leaning against the ropes, just staring and not saying a word.
His whole demeanor was, yeah, I'm bummed out, but I've got too much of an ego to show it. Yeah. It was all there.
Yeah.
Like, this was really good acting on both these guys' part. And so, at the very end, Jericho, you know, basically says, I'm bigger than both of you, so it doesn't matter. And then he gives everybody the gift of Jericho.
And they super kick him.
And they super kick him in perfect tandem. And they both sort of give each other this look. But there was so much ambiguity in that look that they give each other. Like, man, this used to be you and I against the world.
Yeah.
And now we're at each other's throats. And you can tell there's some regret from both of them. I mean, I hate talking about like this with wrestling, but this is when it's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when the storylines are good and powerful.
You give a shit about it, yeah. You know? So, Battleground, they said, you know, Battleground is going to be their blow-off.
Yeah.
Do you believe that's the case?
I hope it's not.
Yeah.
Just because these guys always do really good work together.
I have a strong, strong feeling that they're going to break them up with the brand split, but have them seep in a little bit and build them both up. Look, I've said this time and time again. Sami Zayn's going to be huge.
Yeah.
He's going to be huge. And I think Kevin Owens is going to be huge.
Imagine, say, at WrestleMania 35 or 36. Maybe, I doubt they have a long-term vision like this, but one of those two, main event is those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have their thing now, and they split them up maybe at some point in the intervening years. They'll give them the same show, and they'll do the tag team thing. Like, they start as a tag team, and they're button heads. And they kind of get along again. Something happens, and so they don't get along anymore. And eventually, or even better, maybe they're still friends, and they are forced to a situation where they have to fight each other.
Yeah.
And there's no way out of it.
Yeah. There's a million ways you can go with these guys, and it's great. I tend to think it wouldn't surprise me if Battleground was their blow-off. They get split up at the draft. Battleground is right before the draft. No.
Right after the draft.
Battleground is right after the draft.
It's the Sunday after the draft.
Okay. Well, maybe they get split up by the draft. And then I don't know, something happens at SummerSlam that's just really meaningful. But it's like a conclusion, but also I'll see you around.
If they're split up at the draft, it could be interesting at Battleground, them knowing this is the last time they're gonna meet for who knows how long.
Right.
That could add an interesting element to
it. I think so.
Some extra emotional weight.
Yeah. It was really, really well done. It was my highlight of the night.
Yeah, it was really good.
What happened then?
We kind of skipped over Cena versus Rollins. Good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Yeah.
Rollins kind of got a clean win, but not really. It wasn't direct interference, but distraction from the club.
It was a win.
It was a tainted clean.
A tainted clean finish. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
No direct interference, but
right.
And after that,
anytime somebody is distracted by somebody hovering outside the ring, you kind of deserve to lose if you're going to lose that way. You shouldn't be distracted by anything outside the ring.
You should pay attention to the guy you're in the ring with.
Just keep on doing it.
Yeah. After that, Enzo and Cass squashed Carlos Tochi and Mitch Walding.
Okay, that's what you call him here. But then on the WWE.com website, it says Carlos Hershey and Mitch like Wahlberg.
Walden.
And you read something that these were the names.
Yeah, it was some, I think it was local Philadelphia, their website or newspaper or something, mentioned that Carlos Tochi and Mitch Walding are two prospects in the Philadelphia Phillies organization. And apparently the Phillies have a minor league affiliate in the Tampa area.
Okay.
And so I don't know what the connection is between WWE and those players, but they decided to name these guys after two of the Phillies' top prospects.
Maybe there's a writer from the area who really likes them. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyways, then they renamed them probably just to avoid any legal problems.
Yeah, here, I'll get the website. So, Philly.com.
Names two wrestlers after Philly pro. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
Philly.com it is.
Philly.com.
This is kind of interesting. Then the social outcasts come out. They do a really, really funny spot.
Yeah.
Where Enzo's like, which one of you is the hardest? Well, I'm harder than you. No, I'm harder. You have no idea how hard I am.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It was hilarious. I loved it. I really do hope. Look, Enzo and Cass are kind of biding their time until the tag titles come back up for grabs when this whole Wyatt New Day thing is over.
Or when they do the brand split and there's a new set of tag titles.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So they're sort of biding their time. I hope they bide their time with the social outcasts and not a bunch of, you know, more jobbers. I don't really want to see the jobbers. I'm hoping these jobbers are just simply used to bring the social outcasts out, and then they could, you know, they can go at it. I really want to see this. I like the social outcasts. They all have good chemistry. I like two out of the three. Heath Slater I'm not huge on, but I don't really mind him because whenever he comes out, he's with two other guys who I actually kind of like, McGillicutt, Curtis Axel, and Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
You know what's a bummer, though? I was thinking about this. I saw Bo Dallas come out, and I was like, man, everybody who came out of NXT like 6 months after him, like after his class, has like blown up, you know?
Pretty
it's
much,
like
yeah.
Every, like, never. Well,
except,
never,
the, except the Ascension.
Except, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Except the Ascension. But, I mean, That was somebody fucked up once and that killed him forever. That was insane.
I know.
But everybody in the singles level, I mean, for the most part, nobody else that came out of NXT in a high profile way, and he was a high profile guy, nobody else that came out of NXT has been as gimmicked as he has been.
Yeah.
It's like all those guys are all taken very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. I mean, Seth Rollins was way before, obviously, but it's odd to me that he was so, because he was so legitimate in NXT.
Yeah. And I mean, even before that, when it was FCW.
Yeah. I mean, he started doing the Bo Leave thing, and that sort of, you know, it's like, I understand he needs something to sort of grab onto, but I think he grabbed on it so hard and tried to do such a good job with it that it kind of
blew up in his face.
Yeah, pigeonholed him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was a bummer, because, man, I really like Bo Dallas.
Yeah, I do too. Summer Rae versus Becky Lynch, which was scheduled to be a match, but really wasn't, because Natalya was on commentary, and Becky decided, rather than have a match with Summer Rae, she would go and punch Natalya.
It always kind of cracks me up whenever Summer Rae's out there for a match, because I know it's the same thing as like when Damian Sandow used to come out for matches. It's like, oh man, what a bummer. I know this isn't important. Like, I know this doesn't matter. She's not going to have anything, you know, she's either going to job or...
Situation like last night. There's another time where she was out in the ring and there was supposed to be a match and it just never happened.
Wasn't it like Paige? No, there was one time when she actually beat Paige, and that was just weird. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right about that, though. Whenever I see her, I think that, oh, she's not going to get any action tonight. Like, in the ring.
Okay.
I don't mean sexually speaking.
Okay.
Not number 13 maneuver in DDP yogurt.
It's 12. Diamond dozens, dude.
There you go.
We already talked about The Miz and Kane, so we'll go right on to Apollo Crews and Cesaro against Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus.
I like Alberto Del Rio. I wonder if some time there in the mid-card can help his career. I don't know. He needs some strong, like...
He's been doing some... In the Money in the Bank ladder match feud, he did some good work.
He did some good work.
Some good character work.
Yeah.
And last night, there was a little bit of that, because they played off the heat between he and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just more of that, developing his character, will hopefully project them up the card.
There's a part of me that thinks... Hear me out here on Del Rio.
Okay.
There's a part of me that thinks... He's too big for the mid card, but he just doesn't fit in the main event scene.
Yeah, not right now.
You know, like, he never really, like, there was a period of time when he first came in, he was believable because they did all those video vignettes of him in his nice house, and then he would drive out in the car, he had his personal ring announcer. He's the kind of guy who kind of needs to look like $1 million. You have to see his money. And I thought they did a really, really bang up job of that back in the day. I don't know what it is about him that he can't be like a modern-day million-dollar man. Is that just too dated of a concept? Is what he does too dated?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, it's because I like Del Rio.
Yeah.
Like you said, in the Money in the Bank buildup, like, you saw how he bounced off of Kevin Owens, like, you know, verbally, character-wise, all those guys, and it was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was entertaining to watch him do that stuff. I don't know. Maybe he just needs like a really good opponent. I don't know. It's weird.
It could just be a matter of him being booked in a really good feud with somebody that gives him an opportunity to develop character.
Yeah. I imagine him being... Imagine him... This is completely not going to happen. But book him with a dude like Nakamura. That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be weird, but it could be interesting. Yeah. And Del Rio is a former MMA fighter.
Yeah. He had a winning record, I think.
Oh, did he? I just saw the
one where Crow Cop knocked his head off.
Yeah, he had like a mask on too.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Some Pride, wasn't it?
Wrestling is weird.
Wasn't that in Japan where that happened?
I think it was Pride. Yeah.
Yeah. Next, New Day dropped a promo on the Wyatts.
I love where this is going, man. I love it, and it doesn't really stall out. Every week there's been something new going on, and it's been sort of amplifying.
Yeah.
This week, Bray Wyatt actually called out Xavier, saying, "Xavier, you hear my words."
That's a good Bray Wyatt.
You like that?
Like in 20 years, that's probably what he sounds like.
Xavier, you hear my words. Anyways, so the New Day come out. They're all dressed up like their own sort of yokel versions of the Wyatts. And it's hilarious. They even do the video thing.
Yeah, yeah.
To kick it off.
All the smash cuts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty funny.
They come out. They're hilarious. But Xavier, when the Wyatts come out, Xavier looks freaked out or hypnotized.
Well, even before the Wyatts came out, Xavier was behaving.
He's being meek.
Differently. Yeah.
Meek. Yeah. Yeah. You can always say, this is going to be the. This is going to be really cool because, you know, whatever they do, number one, I have the distinct feeling that they have this story mapped out to the end. And Xavier knows everything. And Xavier's going to be the focal point of it. And he's, I think, the one out of the group who can really hit the home run mm-hmm. with this. Because mm-hmm. usually he's like the instigator. He's the verbal guy.
Yeah.
Him being in this situation, I think, is going to be really, really fun. Yeah. And it's going to add so much to his character.
Yep. Agreed.
Next.
Oh, then it was main event.
And then the main event. AJ Styles. Remember, this is great because Seth was on commentary.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He was hilarious. I don't know. I shouldn't be cheering for Ambrose, but then here I am. Everything's weird now.
Is there a way both of them could lose?
And then nobody said double count out. That really bugged the shit out of me. He said, I don't want any of these guys to win. Is there any possibility they can both lose? Well, this is double count. Nobody said that, though.
Yeah,
it's double count.
No one said that. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Seth, you could actually help. Well, no, you'd probably get them DQ'd. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
If he interfered to try to keep them out of the ring, somebody would be DQ'd. Whoever he touched first would be other guy.
If he had gone in and hit Ambrose, Styles would have been DQ'd.
Exactly, yeah.
So he should have just done that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, yeah. That would have fulfilled his desire to hurt Ambrose and kept Seth Rollins out of it. Or the other guy.
AJ Styles.
Yeah, that guy.
That's what he should have done.
His world title. Man, how much do you like that, what are they called? The club's gear.
Oh, yeah, it looks
good.
I am
waiting. Every day I've been checking WWE
Will you finally make a purchase at WWE Shop? Because it's been a while since you bought anything.
It has been a little while, I know.
If they release that logo.
If they release that weird gas mask logo with the, and then what's probably Japanese for like Ammunition Club or something. Bullet Club.
Oh, they got a. See that? They got tank tops and stuff.
Yeah, all
Steve.
Sorts of tank tops. I know. No, I saw a Briscoe Brothers tank top that I want. It says Dim Boys on it. Those dudes, I was watching, I keep on meaning to watch some best of their stuff. But I watched like one of the promos coming out of the Ring of Honor thing that went down this past weekend. And man, they are so. I never want to see them in WWE because they would be so watered down. They are so legitimately. They seem so authentic,
mm-hmm.
the way they talk and the way they are. They're scary. I'm not scared of wrestlers very often. Scott Steiner's one of them guys I would never want to meet.
Yeah.
Except if I'm at Shoney's in Ackworth, Georgia.
Yeah. I'd like to see what his customer service skills are like.
I know, exactly. Is everybody happy here? How do you like your hamburger, you fat bastard? How does he not call people? Like, how does he not? Because he seems so real when he's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, you think he's going to start shooting all the customers,
I
huh?
know, exactly.
All right, you want to open up some stuff?
Who wants some pancakes?
We got a package from Derek Simmons.
I know you want pancakes because you're a fat bastard.
You know what this is?
Yeah, dude. Those are our pseudo NWO shirts.
Oh, cool.
I think so.
There's a pen there.
Nice. I always use one of these, and then I open it to anthrax.
Here. You read letter.
Oh, nice. Look at this little drawing on it. Looks like a Dorito of some sort. Hey, friendos. I first heard about you guys when Total Biscuit gave you a major push during this year's Royal Rumble, and I absolutely love the chemistry you two share. It's very refreshing to hear an old-school wrestling perspective. Raw and honest, just the way I like it. My first pay-per-view was watching the infamous tornado tag match with the Hardys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian at a friend's house, and I've been on this crazy ride off and on ever since. I've been teasing this on Twitter, and finally I have a stable enough job to take care of the bills and get this to you. I was at Northwest Majors, a local fighting game tournament, a couple months ago, and a vendor advertised these shirts, and I thought their obvious design inspiration would be perfect for your show, especially with Xavier Woods and Kenny Omega being a part of CEO Gaming in Orlando. Did you watch that stuff?
Yeah.
It's good. I have also included a red Sharpie, just in the off chance one of you wanted to turn to the Wolf Pack. Might have to do that. I appreciate all the laughs you provide, and you're a great gateway to try to get my non-wrestling fans in the most entertaining roller coaster ride in the world. You're our most anticipated podcast on my Stitcher. On the Stitcher Radio.
Yeah.
Coming home from work. Keep the laughs coming. The Platinum Patriot at P2 Plays. Too sweet for Platinum Patriot. Too sweet for the... Oh, that's sick. Look at that. The Northwest Majors. Perfect time to get our first too sweet in.
Thank you, Derek.
All right. Yeah. Did it. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank
That's
you very much.
I'll be wearing those in the next one.
Listen, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Josh Hammond.
Hammond.
Thoughts on Ambrose now being called WWE Champion instead of WWE World Heavyweight Champion? Clue to two main titles after the split.
A lot of people.
Maybe.
A lot of people paying attention.
Yep.
They heard. They heard the words. They heard WWE Champion after so many long times of them using WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Chris Kaufman. What hobby do you think Roman Reigns has picked up during his suspension? Kaufman thinks perhaps he planted a vegetable garden.
That could be. I hope Roman Reigns picked up some ping pong lessons, because I watched Kaufman playing ping pong on a Snapchat, and him and his friends are trash. I could destroy them easily.
Didn't you used to play ping pong?
Yeah, man. I used to play with my dad all the time. I was much better than I saw them play.
Okay.
They're terrible.
I think he should join a neighborhood recreational softball league.
Recreational marijuana?
Softball.
Recreational drugs.
TJ, do we feel like the WWE are headed more towards UFC? Look at Rollins,
do
Nakamura.
You feel like some pancakes, you fat bastard.
KO, etc. Feeling more, heading more towards UFC. I don't know if they're heading more towards UFC.
Wait,
I think,
what?
You really pay attention. Do we feel like WWE are headed more towards UFC?
Oh. Now, you know what's funny is that Stephanie actually said something about that. She said...
they said they weren't competition.
Yeah, they're not competition. I don't know. I don't think necessarily they're headed more towards UFC. I think they're just with the times, trying to get with the times in terms of people want interesting characters who aren't cartoonish.
Yeah.
They want dimension. They want people looking cool. They want good looking moves. I mean, yeah, MMA is popular. UFC is super popular. So if we see guys, okay, Kevin Owens refers to himself as a prize fighter. You know, you might see guys like The Undertaker. He's had a more MMA style of fighting in his later years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there might be some... That would seem to be more not the WWE trying to do that, as opposed to, wow, look at this guy in the independent circuit. He's getting over using that kind of, like, letting that bleed into his repertoire.
Yeah. Yeah, they're marketing certain wrestlers as more fighters. Like Shinsuke's moveset is primarily strikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not so much traditional wrestling holds.
Right, exactly.
So, Davey Scott, if Kurt Angle were to return to WWE, who would he have the best storyline with and why?
I'm hesitant to say AJ Styles because he fought him in TNA. And
John Cena.
John Cena. That'd be great. John Cena's open challenge, and then Kurt Angle comes in and says, ruthless aggression. You know, you can see his digging balls. That's a joke from earlier.
Yeah. Josh Hammond.
I don't actually want to see his digging balls.
Josh Hammond. Well, we did in Trade Wreck, kind of. Josh Hammond. Do you think Xavier Woods being brainwashed by the Wyatts could be the beginning of a New Day split? No, I think it'll help add complexity and layers to not only Xavier Woods' character, but the New Day as a whole.
I agree completely. The New Day need a serious threat. They need to go through some drama before they continue with their little comedy act.
Sergeant Cheese.
Cheese.
Do you guys see Cena and Styles being drafted to SmackDown and having a match at Battleground for the new belt?
Cena and Styles being drafted to SmackDown and having a battle for the new belt.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened at SummerSlam as opposed to Battleground.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Cheese Man.
Hey.
What title do you wish they would bring back or create? TV title.
The TV title tonight. Yeah, absolutely. Defended at every TV tape, but you never see it defended on the house shows.
Yeah.
Somebody comes out of the house show, it's like, whoa.
This isn't televised.
Isn't on TV. No, I like your suggestion. WWE Network Belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I want to see the WWE Universal title. Defended once a year at WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, that's good.
Jacob Justice. When you go to a live event, this is a good question. When you go to a live event, are you more of a mark or a smark?
I like this question. I would say we have the enthusiasm of a mark, but, you know, our smark instincts come out to play. You know what I mean? Like, we mark out all the time
on
live shows.
When Seth Rollins won at WrestleMania, we legitimately marked out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we have, look, everybody knows, everybody watching, everybody listening knows that we have... We don't look. Some like smart marks, they'll root exclusively for heels. We don't do that. We do that at like indie shows. Mm-hmm. If given an option, because it's more fun, to like try to get a reaction out of the bad guy, we'll root for him and see if he does the true heel thing and spurn our advances.
Yeah.
Or if he's a weak heel, he'll accept our love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, indie shows is always, if we root exclusively for the heels.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Unless there's a super entertaining, like it's, we'll, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If there's like a super entertaining good guy, we'll root for them.
We'll find whatever weird little, you know, predilections we have and enjoy in a wrestler, and we'll cheer on accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, there are certain, I mean, I guess we're kind of smarks. I guess we're pretty much smarks.
I mean, we went to WrestleMania. I don't think, like, we legitimately marked out for Rollins winning.
We, like, the biggest thing we marked out for, well, besides Rollins winning, was the WCW match. That's a pretty markish thing to do.
And Rusev's tank.
That's a pretty markish thing.
And when you go to a show, you kind of have to sing John Cena sucks. It's just part of the show. It's fun. Whether you actually think he sucks or not.
I got a selfie with Roman Reigns, and I was trying to boo him. But, you know, I'll take one of me smiling. You know, it's, and I appreciate what he does, you know.
Yeah.
I happen to think that him being written the way he is and him performing the way he is just aren't up to my high standards.
Okay. Enter Red Ruby 421. Do you legitimately think that WWE would play more with the Woods trance? And if so, how would you book that into the feud?
Do I think the what?
The parent kind of trance,
yeah, sure,
thing that Xavier Woods is under. How would we book that in relation to the Wyatt's feud?
What does it mean, though? Do you legitimately think the WWE would play more?
Play it up more, I think.
Will they? Is that his question?
No, do you think? I don't know. I mean, I'm only going by the words he has here. I'm guessing he thinks, will they go further with it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think there's going to be a whole story about this shit.
Yeah.
If so, how would you book that into the feud? I mean, I guess the question is, how are you going to book this thing?
Would you go so far as to have Xavier Woods briefly join the Wyatt family?
My only problem with that is we've seen that before. I don't know. I don't really know. I haven't really thought out this one that much.
I haven't either.
But I think that whatever happens, I think it's going to be kind of unpredictable. I think it'd be kind of predictable if he joined them.
Yeah.
If they did it in a way that's different, here's the difference. When Daniel Bryan joined, it was sort of his own. Did he like lose and had to join, or did he just join because they broke him down?
I think it was the latter.
I think they broke him down. With Xavier, if there's a bit more of like a supernatural bent to it, I think that would be sufficiently different than when they did with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So maybe they can take what I thought was actually with Daniel Bryan was sort of a truncated version, because they were like fast-tracking him during that storyline. They wanted to get him out of it. And so it was like a Raw where he broke the trance.
Yeah.
And then it was a hugely over moment.
Yeah.
It was a hugely over moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope they take things a little bit further with Xavier.
Well, if they take this all the way out to SummerSlam, then give them a month and a half yet
time.
To do something interesting.
Do you think, is there any possibility he turns on the New Day at Battleground? I could maybe see that.
I can see that.
Yeah. Or maybe he does a thing where he sort of takes the coward's way out because he's legitimately freaked by them.
Yeah.
And then it causes them to lose, not their titles, but it causes them to
lose a match, yeah.
And there's some dissension in the ranks. Yeah, I don't know. It should be fun.
Yeah. James Devlin, have you watched What Do You Think of What Culture Pro Wrestling?
I have not. I've seen some of the announcements. I've seen that they signed Damian Sandow, Will Ospreay.
Jay Lethal was going to be at one of their shows, right?
That's right. Yeah, Jay Lethal was going to be one of their shows. I'll watch it on YouTube. Yeah. I mean, I'll give it a shot. Like anything else, I'll give it a shot.
Yes. Damian Clark, two questions. At Survivor Series this year, the main event consists of The Club, which will be Styles, Gallows, Anderson, Nakamura, and Balor, facing off against The Shield with Cena and a mystery opponent. Who should that mystery opponent be?
The Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
Man, that's a good answer.
I know, that's a great answer.
All right, I can't argue with that.
Haas.
Try as I might.
Skyler or Haas?
Hollis.
Oh, yeah.
Hollis.
Next.
Next question. Also, Damian Clark. Assuming that Roman Reigns' suspension is a sign that he won't be the one charged with carrying the brand, who would you put as a top guy of whatever brand he was destined to lead? So, I mean, he was going to be on Raw, and then Cena was going to be on SmackDown.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. That's I mean, about it.
Either Rollins or Ambrose. based on who's on the roster now.
Yeah, with a strong backup of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on either one. Yeah, I like that.
Patrick Cheeseman.
Hey, Cheeseman. I'm sitting outside your window with a big piece of cheese.
With Cruiserweight Championship coming up, will they bring back the Cruiserweight title?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't Triple H say that he wants the CWC to be its own brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They need a title then. Yeah. They need some sort of title.
I wonder if he meant, though, back on the main shows.
Oh.
I'd be cool with that, but I don't want people that are competing for the Cruiserweight belt to be relegated strictly to the Cruiserweight division.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, if they are a Cruiserweight champion and can succeed beyond that weight division, they should be able to.
Yeah, but by that logic, I've never felt comfortable with the fact that, like, it's called the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Like, when there has been a heavyweight title, and then you have, like, Rey Mysterio, because he's not a heavyweight.
Well, by the strictest definition, Finn Balor is a Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
So, but if Finn was fighting for the heavyweight title, you'd find it believable, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure, which is why I've never liked the word heavyweight being used.
Okay. Okay.
Because I'm fine with Rey Mysterio fighting for the top title.
Yeah.
Don't call it a heavyweight title.
Okay. David Fishkin, if you could give Roman Reigns a new signature and finishing move, what one would you choose?
Since Baron Corbin seems to be not on TV anymore, I'd give him the End of Days.
I think his finishing move should be the Razor's Edge into a powerbomb.
Oh, yeah, he does that.
Yeah, it's a
cool
move. That's cool.
Yeah, it is a cool move. Looks like two people are going to die. It looks like they're both going to die when he does that.
That should be his finisher and his signature move. I mean, get rid of the spear. Yeah. Get rid of the Superman punch.
You know what I would love, man? Give Roman Reigns the jackknife powerbomb as a devastating finisher. Why is the powerbomb not a devastating finisher anymore? I mean, the pop-up is, but for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I want a straight-up powerbomb.
Powerbomb almost legitimately looks like the most painful move in wrestling.
It does. It absolutely does. It really You're does. Using somebody's own momentum against them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't look comfortable.
Blow them up with kinetic energy and throw them down. It's great.
10-time, soon to be 12-time European champion.
Oh, fuck. No, one of these don't count.
No, they both count.
I'm not answering one.
With Cruiserweight Classic become another brand, how much longer do you think NXT will be around? They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
What are your feelings about Brock Lesnar being on the cover of 2K17?
No, we're not answering this. We have a fucking video about this, and he knows that damn well.
Well, we can...
We made a video about this. You can go watch that video. You're the 11-time...
Hold on.
11-time European champion. You're jobbing to him.
Hold on. Sometimes, after further consideration, your opinions may change.
As yours?
No, I think it's pretty cool still.
Oh. No, that's not a change of opinion. So he's the 11-time. Okay, can we agree to that?
No, you got two questions answered. 12-time. We have some video questions. Let's take a look at these. First one from Patrick Sparks.
All right, Patrick.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. My question for you this week is, what are your dream matches for the past, present, and future? I want to see No Way Jose defeat Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews for the WWE Universe Championship and then have a dance celebration on WrestleMania stage. I don't care which one, really. But I want to see it. Thanks, friendos.
Thanks, Patrick. Past. Dream match from the past. Something I'm assuming he means that we haven't seen, or that we didn't get to see, rather.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. For the present, it would be CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. It'd be that.
Future,
it would be...
Ricochet versus AJ Styles.
I like that. I was going to say Ospreay versus AJ Styles. No, for the future, what did I say? I want to see Nakamura versus Brock Lesnar.
That's what I want to see. You know.
Yeah, I know, but that wasn't the Nakamura of today.
Okay.
That was a completely different Nakamura. Past.
Seth Rollins versus...
The past.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, I think he means what dream match from the past. Like, that could have legitimately happened in the past. Still, like Sting versus Shawn Michaels.
Back yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay, I like that one too.
Next.
Scott Steiner versus Ryback. Scott Steiner versus Yokozuna. You fat bastard.
Next, Derek Simmons.
Hey, friendos, P2 here. I love me some NXT. But every time that I see Nia Jax on screen, I can't help but think, Awesome Kong would just destroy her world. So my question to you is, why hasn't Awesome Kong come back? She did have a stint with WWE a couple years ago. Have her come back to NXT.
I would love to see her back.
Yes.
I know she just got released by TNA in February for like feuding with like Matt Hardy's wife or something like that. It's kind of weird. I would assume that the only reason she went back to TNA and not WWE is like for family issues. Like, you know, it's easier just to be there in TNA in Florida.
Yeah, because they do other TV tapings in one in one shoot day. So. Hopefully soon she'll come back. It'd be great.
I know. It'd be great.
Adam Oster.
What's up, guys? It is Adam here, your two-time TV champion now. And I had a question for both of you guys. Who do you think has the more powerful dingus, Joey Ryan or Magnum TA? Too sweet. Do it. Just do it. The patrons want it too sweet, man.
Thanks for your question. You guys can put your submit your questions on here for $20 a month. Anything you want. You want to put your balls on here? We'll put it on there.
No, we won't do that.
Anyways, I'm sorry. What was the question? Magnum TA what?
Who has the more powerful dingus, Joey Ryan or Magnum TA?
Oh, look, all due respect to Joey Ryan.
It's Magnum TA.
Come on, give me a break.
It's Magnum TA.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
Joey Ryan's like Magnum TA Jr., which is a total compliment.
It is. Are you ready, Steve?
Am I ready for...
Oh, am I ready?
Are you ready?
Am I ready? Am I ready to wrestle the champ?
That's what we got to get our hands on. One of them belts. So when it's kayfabe corner time, you just put the belt up to the mic and goes, are you ready to wrestle the champ?
Yeah.
Who's next?
All right, kayfabe corner.
What is this? What is
kayfabe the greatest corner? Pro wrestling trivia challenge of them all. 12 names, 6 real, 6 fake, generally.
Yeah, it is.
2 trivia questions. What is the theme this week, Steve?
Oh, okay. So I put at the $10 Patreon mark, you can actually vote on a theme. We give you 2 options every week and you get to vote on it. This week, since we were in on a conference call with Paul Heyman, since Brock Lesnar is on the cover of 2K17, I went ahead and went with Ricochet and Will Ospreay. No, I didn't. I went with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Are you ready?
Sure. All right. Who won?
Paulie Dangerously.
Okay.
ECW.
Okay.
Number one. The Alaskan Hunter.
Fake.
Real. Number 2, Louis Marseille.
Real.
Fake. Leatherman.
Leatherman?
Yeah.
Real.
Fake. Lieutenant James Earl Wright.
Real.
Very good. Tommy Gilbert Jr.
Real.
Very good. Sweetie Skaggs.
Fake.
Very good. Wayne Coleman.
Real.
Very good. Lemon Jones.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
Real.
Fake.
Damn.
White Wazuma.
What was that?
White Wazuma.
How do you spell Wazuma?
W-A-Z-U-M-A.
Real. You're not going to make that up.
It's fake. It's actually Black Yazuma. Or Black Wazuma. It was Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
I believe. I think. Troy Orndorff.
Real.
Very good. You know who that was?
Yeah, Shane Douglas.
Oh, how do you know that?
Because I researched for Kayfabe Corner 2, man.
I love that he called himself Troy.
I know. It's pretty funny.
Tex Slazenger.
Real.
Yeah, that's a good name. And finally, Skip Rogers.
Fake.
Good. That's like the realest sounding fake name there is. 7, okay. Yeah. Good. You might actually, these are kind of easy. You might get these.
Okay, cool.
You might know these. I don't know why I went with this. Should have gone with something harder. 2 trivia questions.
Okay.
You're at 7?
7.
How are we on our final tally?
You had 8 last week, so as of right now, this moment, you're up 1.
Oh, dear. So in order for me to... So you can either keep on losing to me, tie, or start beating me again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 1 week was good for me. I'm happy with that. What move is Paul Heyman widely considered to have innovated?
Wrestling move, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Pro wrestling move.
I feel like I should know this. Let's say powerbomb.
Chokeslam.
Oh, okay.
Second question. What wrestler did he innovate it for?
Primetime Brian Lee.
I wish. 9-1-1.
Oh, okay. I think Primetime Brian Lee used it before.
You would think. It's weird that nobody came up with a chokeslam before Paul Lee.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia. And I double-checked a couple places. I was like, I don't know. Apparently he innovated the chokeslam. I don't know if somebody did like a chokeslam-ish maneuver before, but apparently he's the one who innovated it. Innovate okay. means invent, basically, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or to improve upon.
I am still in the winner. Yeah, you're winners up column. I am in the lead.
You're up one.
2 weeks at least I'll be in the lead. It's good.
I'll come back next time.
It's good. All right. We're going to have a bonus episode. We're going to talk about our bonus episode for the lovely $5 patrons.
What do we want from two world titles?
What do we want from two world titles?
Do we even want them?
Do we want two world titles? That's our bonus episode. Check that out. Usually I get that up tomorrow, the next day, just because, you know, got a lot to do, man.
We do.
So, and I figure I'll split it up. You know, it's like you watch Going In Raw, and then the next day you have this to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, that's it for now. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.